Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.
Big day, ThinkBigRadio.com listeners. Big here, your host this evening. I'd like to thank you all for your continued support and spreading the word about ThinkBigRadio.com. Now, we've got one of our great guests on here tonight, Eileen. She's going to be able to share a lot of this good information that she has about her life and about marketing when it comes to your books. Eileen, are you there?
I am, Ken.
Oh, great. I'm so glad that you were able to make it and that I was able to make it. Now, we're a little bit behind schedule today, but we're still on time. And what I'd like for you to do is share with them your contact information. How can
Sure.
we be reached?
Well, Ken, people can reach me. I do have a Facebook page, Unforgettable Faces and Stories. They can go out on there and like that. I'm also on Twitter, and my name is Faces and Stories. I do have a Pinterest account and also a YouTube where you can check out my videos and go along for the ride with me with my books and what's coming out next year, 2017. I also have a LinkedIn page, and I have both my personal and my professional information out there under my name, Eileen Doyon. So I'm very, very accessible. I do have a website page, obviously, as well, Unforgettable Faces and Stories, and they can find out a lot of details about my books, my upcoming books, and also different reviews that are posted on that, and you can email me through that as well, Ken.
All right, great, great. Now, every now and then we get authors that come on the show, and they like to, you know, talk about their books and talk about the process, you know, what it was like to write their first book. But you have many different books out. And the first question that I would like to ask you is, the very first book you wrote, why did you write it?
Well, my dad had passed away in 2011 of lung cancer, and I was with him till the end. And I had lost my mom and my brother back in 1981, and really, I was young at the time, you know, early 20s, and I don't really think that I went through the grieving process, if you will, Ken. So when my dad passed away, it was a very dark, devastating time for me, and I knew I was smart enough to know that I had to do something. So I did a lot of research online, and they said to write. And so what I did is they said write in a journal, and I did that for about 2 weeks, and I said that's not enough for me just because of my personality that I have. So I said, well, I'm going to write a book about my dad. Now, he was a Marine, very proud of that. He fought in Iwo Jima. He was in World War II. And I said, I'm going to do a tribute to him because the military is very near and dear to my heart. And I said, well, I'm the only one that's going to read the book if I write about my dad. So then I was thinking, Ken, I'm like, if I feel like this, there have to be other women that feel like that about their dads. So I made the decision to reach out to my friends. That's how I started, that mostly I went to high school with because my dads were right around the same age, and they mostly fought in World War II. So I reached out to them, and I asked them if they would be interested in writing a short story, if you will, about their dad and a tribute to him. And thus, you know, I got so much feedback and so much energy, if you will, coming back from people that had written. I said to my husband, you know, I think I've got something here. I want to continue because I'm put on different topics. So that's what I did.
Okay. So your first book, it was more so because you needed to have that time to get back to who you really were. It was almost as
Correct.
If it was a grieving process, and it started off in your journal. And
Correct.
So with your journal, after a couple – oh, I'm sorry. What was that?
And it was the same for everyone who participated, a healing project, if you will.
Healing project. Great. I like that. And now that you've brought that up, to just, you know, move forward a little bit, there's something that you are doing, and it starts with a P-E-A-S-E.
Correct. It's P's. P's.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to make sure that I said that right. Tell us a little bit about that. Does that have anything to do with the healing project or helping other people heal?
Well, P's Greeters, what it is P's is an Air Force base in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, that closed except for their military. They have a base there for the aircraft, because what happens, Ken, is when the soldiers go overseas, P's is really here in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. It's kind of the last stop, fueling stop, before they go overseas. And then when they come home, when the soldiers come home, it's their first stop when they come to the U.S. And it was started back in 2001, and it's a fabulous organization, and you can go to peacegreeters.org. And what happens is they get as many people as we can, and veterans had started the program. And what we do is we're there to greet the soldiers when they get off the plane. They have about a three-hour delay, and we all stand in lines, and we have flags, and they play their theme to their service branch, and we clap and we welcome them home, and or, you know, we send them off. We ask, you know, to see the pictures of their kids or just talk to them. A lot of the local businesses supply cell phones for them, phone cards, food, coffee, you know, the whole, it's just a fabulous, fabulous organization.
That, you know, and I kind of remember when we were in the service, when we came back from Iraq, that we had greeters when we got off the plane.
It was probably
and it was so long ago that we're just happy to land in the United States, so it didn't matter where.
Right.
but I do remember how, you know, welcome we felt, and, you know, it was just a clap for us and all the other different things that go along with it.
Yeah. And anything that we can do, you know, to the end. I know that you're a Marine, so thank you very much for your service.
Well,
I want to make sure your listeners know that. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a long, long time ago, and I'll often chat with my Marine buddies from time to time on the different social sites.
Sure.
You know, so it's so many good memories, and, you know, just thinking about how the things that you went through, how you were able to heal yourself with writing, because I like to write, you know, from time to time, or my little blog post.
Yeah.
And I know how fulfilling and how it can help you, you know, get over bad times in your life or things that you feel should have went, you know, a certain way.
Right. And in one of my books, Pet Tales, you know, there's a couple of stories that are written by people with service dogs. And it was incredible stories. And I have another book called Best Friend, and a couple of people wrote about their service dogs as well. I have Christy Gardner up in Lewiston, Maine, and she now plays for the USA Sled Warrior teams, and it's veterans, disabled veterans, and they travel all over the United States, and actually they're going to be in the Olympics this Korea, and she has her service dog with her, Moxie, and it's just an incredible, incredible thing that, you know, that she's able to have her service dog.
And I was wondering how you went into, like, what were some of the reasons that you went into writing about the different animals? Because I saw how after a while, and so it had to do with how the animals also help heal?
They do. And, you know, what I tried to do, Ken, when my first book was Dedication, Dads and Daughters, and then the second one I did was on keepsakes. So the next book I did is I choose a topic or a theme of a book, and that really means a lot to me. And because I think I can be more passionate about it because it's such a deep meaning. And, you know, pets are family members. They really are.
Right.
And they have various healing and inspiring friend companionship. I have one gentleman that lives here in Nashua, New Hampshire, and he's blind. He went blind when he was 23 years old, and he had just graduated from college with an engineering degree. And he climbs he climbed the 48 highest peaks in the state of New Hampshire with his guide dog, Quinn. And, you know, so pets are such an important part of our life, everyday life.
And pets are very helpful, not only in just the ways of you having that companionship, but, you know, a lot of them, they're even able to recognize now if you have certain symptoms or if you're about to, you know, go into a seizure or fit, and they're able to, you know, alarm the people around you or calm you down.
Exactly. Well, Christy Gardner, who I was talking about, she ended up having some spinal injuries when she came back from Iraq, and she had lost a good portion of her leg, but she actually had them both amputated from the knee down recently. Mm. But she goes into seizures, and so what Moxie would do, Ken, is when Christy was going into a seizure, she would grab Christy by the wrist and pull her to the ground so she couldn't hurt herself, you know, by falling or doing anything like that.
And you have so many books. I'm just kind of at, you know, at the same point going through some of the different ones that that you have here. What was your favorite book?
Oh, tough question. Each of them have such a different meaning in my path, if you will. And about different people, because I contributed and I wrote a story in each of my books that I've written as well. I guess I'm probably going to say my first one because it had to do with my dad. You know, I was daddy's little girl, and that really started, you know, the whole thing. And it's really funny because when I was growing up as a kid, you know, I would ask my dad questions all the time, you know, like kids do, and I would ask him a question, and he'd look at me, and he'd say, oh, well, what are you writing a book? And I would say, yes, and I'm on chapter 3, page 40, whatever it was. And he'd laugh, and I'd laugh, and it was kind of like our little joke. But now in looking back, Ken, I think that this was all preparation for where I'm supposed to be in my life. You know, we always grow up trying to feel, you know, what do we want from life? What do we want from life? But I think we all get to a point at some time, Ken, where we ask about life, like, what is life asking of me? You know, what is it asking that I can do and I can contribute? And I feel that this is my path that I'm contributing.
I'd like to comment on one of the things that you just said that made me think about also business, because, you know, not only did you write, you had to learn the business end of it, but do you find, as far as being a writer, where, you know, like you were saying, like, hey, I'm on chapter 3, fourth paragraph, did you also kind of take that approach in your business, like, okay, this is what I want to do, these are the steps? And so you kind of wrote out what you wanted to accomplish, and then you went at it that way, like your, you know, your plan.
I did.
Mm-hmm. So
you know,
think
and I had
like,
no experience.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and that's really a lot of people that don't have experience in different things. Do you think that was one of the things that worked for you? As far as not knowing what to do, but just kind of thinking as if it was a book or a novel that you had to complete?
Well, I think, you know, in career and my adult life, I guess I should say, you know, I was very fortunate because I was around a lot of positive people. I've seen a lot. I've been very blessed in seeing a lot of speakers, you know, Agmandino, Les Brown, Anthony Robbins, you know, all of them. So I think I developed a can-do attitude by thinking big, you know, The Magic of Thinking Big. Mm-hmm. And when I wanted to write, you know, the book and I had no experience, I went to a self-publisher and I said, okay, this is what I want to do. And he says, okay, well, if you want to do this, then you have to, and he gave me a list of, like a menu list, if you will, of things I had to do. And he said, when you do all this, come back and see me. And I said, okay, I'll be back January, right after January 1st. So, you know, January 2nd, I call him up. And I said, okay, I've got all my stuff together. And I went over to his house to kind of, you know, finalize what we were doing. And he just looked at me and I said, you didn't think I was going to do this, did you? And he says, no, I didn't. He says, you know, everyone wants to write a book. Everyone can says, oh, I want to write a book someday. But not most people do. So I took that can-do attitude, and I just did research. When I hit a wall, I went through it. I just, you know, I asked people. I did research. I did this. And so yes, I think a lot of my business things that I learned helped me to get to where I am.
Okay. And I really like that, and that you expressed how someone who was a big thinker, someone who moved, they said, listen, this is what I need you to do. Because so many times, and I'm sure that this has happened to you in the past when you were trying to help develop someone's potential, is that you'll say, do these three things and come back. And then you could tell that to 20 people, 100 people, and you may have one person that comes back and says, I did it exactly like you wanted me to do it, or I did it, but can you review it for me to see if I did it correctly? And I think that one of the things when it comes to success is indeed, you know, following your, when I'm going to say you as a mentor, of course, following what your mentor puts in front of you, because you have to do one step to get to the next step.
Absolutely.
So what was it like when you, your first book, like when you said, you know what, I've got it. I see my cover. I see it online. And by the way, tell us where we can buy your books as well when you're answering this question. You know, how did that make you feel? What was it, a deep breath? Just share with me, because I know it had to be exciting.
It was exciting. It was, you know, it helped me in my healing process. And I will share this with you. You know, I was so excited personally, and because I did want to make it as a tribute to my dad, and you know what I did? I went to his grave site, and I took my book, and I just said, you know, Dad, this, I did it. I did this for you. This is about you. And that was a really important moment in my life. But the other thing, Ken, is the feedback that I got from the other women, because this book was just about dads and daughters. And, you know, she said, Eileen, she said, I had all this information about my dad. And she said, but it was kind of spread out all over the place. And she said, I was able to compile it all together. And now what I can do is I can give this to my grandkids. Kids, my kids and their kids' kids.
Wow.
So, it, you know, and she's like, you know, I'm an author. I did this, and this has all the information about my dad. And my books are available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble's. And also, people can go to my website, again, Unforgettable Faces and Stories, and they can go through to Amazon right through my site as well.
Okay, and right through your site.
Right. They can get to Amazon right there if they want to, or they can go on to Amazon.com, Ian Barnes & Nobles, or Barnes & Nobles, whichever is easier for them.
Good. I appreciate that. You know, and one of the things that we always get when we're, you know, talking among, you know, different big thinkers is these different ideas. And when your friend saw what you did and it helped and enabled her to write down her father's story, you know, for that one instance, it made me think about how important it is for, you know, us as people with families to, you know, maybe put our parents, you know, stories in print, maybe put some of the things that they taught us or our grandparents down. And in that way, you know, when your children are growing up, you can say, here, you know, this is our story, and one day I'm not going to be here, and you need to continue this story, you know, right. And have everybody, like if you have a large family, they can all put their, you know, chapter in or their two chapters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that would be something that that I'm not aware if there's anything that anyone or out there that's doing that, but I think that that would be a nice, you know, business to get started.
Sure. Well, I know one gentleman actually that I met, and that's how he started writing books, if you will, Ken. He did that mm-hmm. for a family reunion, and he just enjoyed doing it so much and got so much reward, if you will, from all his family members that he ended up actually starting his own publishing company.
And that's a great idea, because sometimes you have to go around in order to get things done. So when it came
right.
to you and your publishing, how did that work out? And do you have your own publishing company, or are you thinking about that as well, or would you just leave that up to that particular group?
My first four books, I did use a self-publisher. He was local mm-hmm. to me. I just wanted to work with someone local. But right. my most recent two books, we actually, I have a marketing person that works for me part-time, and we actually went through Amazon through CreateSpace. But I did publish it under my own name, October Hill. But we put the books together ourselves. I designed, you know, the covers that has. I have a lot to say in regards to that now. We have a little bit more control, if you will, and I like that piece of it. And we did
okay.
think about, you know, reaching out on the publishing side, but I think I'm just going to stay on the storytelling side, if you will, for now. And I've got some other ideas that I want to do for my next book.
Okay, and so that probably will help you in a way without having all of the extra stuff and then dealing with everyone else, especially new authors who may not have everything together the way that they need to. Yeah, I definitely understand that. Now, what so tell us, you married, children. Do you also have pets? You know, where'd you grow up? A little bit about your childhood.
Sure. I am married. My husband and I have been married since 1982, long time.
Okay.
We don't have any children. I do have a cat right now. His name is Otis, and I did write a story about him in my book Pet Tales. He was missing for he went MIA for 6 weeks, and I found him 17 miles away from home. And I write about how I kept the faith that he would come home and what I did every day and each week to find him, and I did find him. I have a niece that I had mentioned when we first started that I had my brother passed away in 81, and he had a little girl. And I have a niece that my husband and I, you know, are very, very close to. And she was 8 when my brother died. So she's somewhat of our daughter, if you will.
Okay, I got you. Okay. And I know that was... just when you're raising someone who is, you know, is really such a big responsibility. And you've had her for a while, you said?
Well, she was 8 back in 1981 when my brother passed away. And, you know, and I actually, yeah, I grew up in upstate New York, small town, Fort Edward, New York. And she's in Virginia, Alexandria, Virginia right now. So, you know, we try to stay in touch and as close as we can be right now.
Right. Yeah, once they get a certain age, you know, it's almost... I know I'm over 800 miles away from my mom, but I definitely have to manage to call her once or twice a week. And
that's good. You have to do it.
You know, and I'll be like, has it been 7 days?
Goes by fast, Ken. Goes by fast.
Yeah,
but, for sure,
And
sure.
It's funny, my father's name was Otis, and when you said Otis the cat, I was just like, oh, my father.
Oh, my God, that's funny. Yeah, but so he keeps me busy, and but he has quite the little story. So you have to buy that book, Ken.
Oh yeah, definitely. I'm gonna read about Otis the Cat.
Pet Tales and Letters to Heaven were both on Amazon's bestseller list. And both of those books are available on ebook. Those are the only two that are on available as ebooks.
All right. Okay. Well, I want to let our before we go further, I want to make sure that you get all your contact information out again. And I do want to let our listeners know that all of your books, when they come to, for those who will be coming to the archive version, who were just tuning in and may not have heard the beginning of the interview. Her books will be available from her site, as well as when you look at the interview, you can go down and you'll click on the book. It'll take you right there to her website, to her order page. And so get your contact information out again for us, for the people who are just coming on.
Sure, Ken. I do have a website, Unforgettable Faces and Stories, and you can see all my information there, my books. Again, that there's an Amazon and a Barnes & Noble's link right there that you can purchase my books through. There's reviews on that. There's videos. I am also on Twitter. Faces and Stories is my name. And I have a Pinterest account as well, and also a YouTube channel, which I'm very excited about. It's YouTube.com, User Faces and Stories. I am on Goodreads, LinkedIn, and under LinkedIn, Ken, you can find me under my name, Eileen Doyon, and that has both my personal and my professional, my book series information on that. And I have a Facebook page, Unforgettable Faces and Stories, and please go to that, and you can like that, and you can keep track of what's happening, what's going on, and moving forward to my next book that I'm going to be working on in 2017. And the theme of that book is going to be Starting Over a New Beginning.
Okay. Starting Over a New Beginning, I like that. So, tell us a little bit about the name, Unforgettable Faces. How did you come up with that name?
Great question. While we were developing Dedication Dads and Daughters, I actually had the second book kind of coming out right after that at the same time, Keepsakes Treasure from the Heart. And when I was getting all this feedback, I said, the self-publisher said, well, you have to get a name. If you're creating a series, you have to get a name. So we had to come up with something in like 4 days. And we were just, you know, shuffling around names. And one of my friends helped me come out with that because I wanted something, Ken, that would encompass a lot of different topics or any topics that we could fit under that umbrella name, if you will. So it's a little bit on the long side. Yeah, but I think it fits.
Mm-hmm.
Because in life we have unforgettable faces and stories all throughout our life, Ken.
Yes, ma'am. That is true. Now, who have been your influencers?
My influencers, you know, I had mentioned before, you know, dropped some names in regards to some people, large, you know, motivational people that we have seen through the years. But deep down with the bottom line, I have to be honest with you, and I think it's my mom and my dad. You know, they grounded me, you know, with core values, core principles. And I think that happens to most of us. And, you know, that's why, you know, your parents and establishing your core when you're a kid, I think eventually it comes out in who you really are.
Wow. That is beautiful. Going back to your parents and your childhood. And for our ThinkBigRadio.com listeners, I want you to know that sometimes 30 minutes is too short a time for our guests, especially one here is Eileen, who has such a wealth of knowledge to share. I just want to know if you could maybe come back on in the future and, you know, maybe read a couple of excerpts from a couple of your books. Would that be something you'd be interested in?
I would love to do that, Ken. I would absolutely love to do that. Thank you.
Great. We would love to have you on. And, you know, at this moment, like I said before, it's, you know, they just go so fast. Did you have anything that you wanted to say or thank?
I would like to thank each and every one of my readers and storytellers out there that have encouraged me, that have participated in my books, that have done reviews, and that cheer me on. And I can't thank them enough, because without them, Unforgettable Faces and Stories wouldn't be here.
Definitely appreciate you for coming on. And for all you big thinkers out there, share the interview, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.